Well, hey, welcome everybody to Open Arms Community Church and to the final piece to our series called The Ultimate OS. How many enjoy the blessing of cell phones today? Huh? How about anybody use computers for fun or for work? Yes? Tablets, right? We surf the web, play, what's that card game people play? Solitaire, right? Flat screen TVs. How about gaming systems? All of these have operating systems. We have hardware on the outside. This is the stuff we touch and play with, and some of the internal guts, that's the hardware. And in this series, we're using technology as the analogy for us to better understand what is this work of God in each of our lives. And just as a computer or a tablet or cell phone has hardware in it, so we have hardware. We have flesh, blood, and bone, and guts, right? But we also have a software, an operating system on the inside that makes all of this work, that creates that environment, right, where things can operate and communicate. So this is the nature of the machine, our spirit, our heart, and it starts with the kernel as the starting point of that operating system. And every one of the machines that you are using today with technology has an operating system, and it starts with this kernel, and the program builds from there. And in your life, you have a spirit, you have a heart, and God is building your life from there. And then we're going to look today at another aspect, because we all use these things. We don't just like have it turn on and sit there and with a nice warm glow, right? Like, we use these tools to do things. And whether it's to use it as a glorified calculator, or whether we go and use it to send emails or communicate through Facebook or video chat or whatever it is we do, playing games, entertainment, whatever it is we do, friends, these require applications, okay? There's other kinds of software, things that are going on behind the scenes. We've got drivers and applications that we're going to talk about here today. Now, how many have ever received a file or a program that ended up on your computer or your cell phone and you tried to open it and you couldn't? Yeah, and you know what that breakdown is? It's that your piece of equipment is not able to communicate. It doesn't have the right drivers. It doesn't have the right applications to take what you received and translate it into your machine so that it's usable, viewable, okay? That type of thing. So what we're going to look at today, if you want to make note in your outlines, is that Jesus came to save the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. So he came to save the operating system, give you a new operating system. He also came to give you new hardware, which eventually that will happen. But in between the spirit, the operating system, and this soft machine, the hardware, there is some communication and translation that needs to go on from what's on the inside and get it to the outside. And here's where we start to see breakdowns. You see, God is a master builder and a master programmer. He doesn't make mistakes. And so when you and I, as people of faith, come and we put our trust in Jesus and we receive that new operating system and he starts to work in our life, and I understand that some of us are missing a few keys, because life's been hard, right? Our chassis is dented, got some scrapes on the screen, and maybe we got a few other parts that need God's touch. But here's the bottom line, is that God is in the business of renewing and saving the whole person. And where we tend to find breakdowns isn't that the breakdown is with God and what he has built or the program that he has created, but rather the breakdown is on the user's part. See, in my ignorance, I don't know what to do sometimes. And so, for example, this machine will never reach its fullest potential because Mike just doesn't know enough to maximize everything that this machine can do. And similarly, friends, there are times where we experience these glitches and breakdowns because we try to do things it isn't designed for. How many know you can use this as a hammer to hit your spouse over the head with, but you're just not going to get favorable results, not from them or the machine, right? Right. So Anyway, when it comes to Jesus saving the whole person, a lot of us, we try to isolate and we just say, okay, Jesus, you can save me from going to hell and take me to heaven when I die, but I'm going to continue to do my earthly life like I've always done it or like everybody else is doing it. And friends, you're going to find a breakdown with that because it doesn't operate in harmony with the new nature, the new operating system that God's placed inside of you. Okay? Does this make sense? So I want you to see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Now stop there a second and circle the word sanctify, because most of us may not know what that word means. So how many have ever heard me explain what the word holy means? A few? So the word holy means otherworldly. It means something that is different, something that is unique and special, a mystery, something that's not fully understood, but otherworldly is one of the best ways for us to understand the word holy. Now, the word sanctified is the process, the work of being made holy or changed into holy. So I like to put it this way. If holy means clean, then the word sanctified is the dishwasher process, where you take a dirty plate and it gets washed and cleaned up. It's set apart, right? It's set apart by putting it into the dishwasher, and then it's run through this washing, cleansing process, and when it comes out, it's clean. So the dishwasher is sanctification, and the clean plate at the end is holy. Does that make sense? So to become otherworldly, to become holy, we must be set apart and go through a process of change called sanctification. And it says here, pay attention to what this text is saying. It says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify, in other words, make you holy, or we could say bring you into the divine operating system fully through and through. And in case we're not sure what through and through means, he continues. May your whole, circle the word whole, spirit, soul, and body, underline spirit, underline soul, underline body, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in the very beginning, when God created man, he created mankind in the likeness and the image of God, male and female. And as God is a triune God, a triune being, he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God composed of three persons. You say, I don't understand that. Well, you shouldn't. He's God, you're not. Okay? He's otherworldly. You're trying to wrap your finite mind around an infinite being. It ought to cause you to be challenged a little bit. If thinking about the depth and the breadth and the greatness of God doesn't cause your brain to tilt a little bit, something's wrong. God is great. However, and I can't wait for the next series in June, Paradigm Shift, as we talk about some of the really cool things about this great God. But this God who made mankind as the apex of creation. We are the point and purpose of all that you see. He wanted us. And we were created in his likeness and his image, obviously to relate to him. But what that means is that as God is a triune being, we are triune beings. We are, notice, what does it say? Spirit, soul, and body. And by the word spirit, you can write the word kernel for those that have been with us through this series. This is the spirit. This is the heart, the beginning of who you are, your operating system, your nature. Beside the word soul, if you want, you can write the word drivers and applications, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. And then, of course, the body is the hardware. It's the machine, and in our case, the soft machine. I just love that phrase. How many ever listened to Mr. Mister back in the 80s? A few of you. Ah, all right. Anyways, so here's the deal. In your outlines, notice that as the kernel represents the spirit and the hardware represents the body, so the drivers represent the soul. And notice that what God wants to sanctify isn't just your spirit, and it's not just your body. It's your entire being, spirit, soul, and body. And when you and I try to play God or dictate to God and set boundaries on God and say, you can help me with this, but you can't touch that, that's where we start to experience the breakdown and the glitches and the freezing. Because we want God to come in and fix one thing, and he said, I want to come in and fix everything. He wants to sanctify your whole being. Now, what is this soul thing? Because if we're going to understand how to get the most out of life and this operating system and the machine that God has given us, we have to understand what the soul or the drivers and applications are. So the soul is that part of man that is composed of your personality, your emotions, and your reasoning faculty. It is the mental and emotional faculty of man, okay? And drivers in the world of technology are those special little programs that translate and communicate information from the machine, from the operating system or the application to the machine. So in other words, in the world of people, friends, what's in my heart, this new nature that is in the likeness of God, this new operating system that wants what God wants, loves what God loves, hates what God hates, right? That new operating system on the inside needs to be translated through my mental faculty, my reasoning process, and my emotions, and then it must be communicated to my body so that I know how to relate with the world and with God. So from my heart, I will have, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart come your speech and your behavior, be they good or evil. So what's in my heart is going to come out, and it processes through these drivers of the soul. So when it comes to these applications of life, they're common to all people. We all have relationships. Most everyone is going to end up married. Not all, but most. Most people will have children that they are going to raise. And everybody is going to be a social creature. They will have friends. Even the most introverted of us, we will have relationships with other people. We will have to engage the management of money and how we handle it. We will have to engage sexuality. We will have to engage food. We will have to engage health care. These are common issues, applications to all people, Christian and non-Christian alike. Agreed? And it is from the heart that springs forth the wisdom and the life and the nature of God to direct us in how best to be a spouse and a parent and a manager of earthly wealth and a manager of our physical health and a manager of other relationships and so on. Do you track that? But the translation of what comes from my heart and ends up in my body in words and actions processes through my mind, my soul. And out of that come these thoughts and attitudes and motivations. So it's very important that we have the right drivers installed. And so the Bible talks about the renewing of your mind. Now, in your outlines, I want you to notice here that we all have the same divine life operating system, but it will be expressed differently. Because remember, it is the soul that makes each one of us a unique person. Your spirit is uniquely you, yes, but within your spirit you have God's nature now as a follower of Jesus Christ. But your mind, your soul, is composed of personality as well as reasoning faculty and emotional composition. And so how you display love and patience and kindness and so on is going to look a little bit different than how I display it. Because we're not the same people. Right? In your outlines, we have different drivers, different personality, mental and emotional composition that enable the soft machine and the life operating system to use the applications that come from God. So you and I are meant to now engage. And if you notice, you can have 10 Christian marriages side by side, and each one is going to look unique. Husband and wife will each one relate differently. And if you're a person that has ever been remarried, even if your first marriage was a very godly marriage and maybe you lost your spouse due to a disease or something else, it was a loss, and you've remarried, even though you may have two very godly spouses, as an example, you can testify that it's very different, yes? Because every one of us brings something unique to the table. Now, while the operating system is standard, while the drivers are unique to who we are, the applications are unique to who we are, friends, the reality is that all of it must be tempered by the nature or the character of Christ, that operating system. It must be in harmony with it. It must be in line with it. If it isn't, then the drivers don't communicate. It won't work. This, again, is running a Linux operating system, so I can't download drivers that run on a Macintosh computer or a Microsoft operating system. The drivers, I can download them, but they won't speak because the drivers play the role of translating the information from the operating system and the applications to the machine itself. And since I'm running a different operating system, they won't talk. And friends, when you and I have the nature of God on the inside, our flesh, have you noticed that it has not yet been redeemed? We saw just a little bit earlier that it's God's intention that the whole person is going to be saved and sanctified and made holy, yes? Spirit, soul, and body, it said. However, we know from our part one that that salvation and sanctification of the flesh is a future event. So if I'm bald before I become a Christian, I'm bald after I become a Christian. If I have brown eyes before I become a Christian, I have brown eyes afterwards. If I struggled with my weight before I became a Christian, guess what? I didn't shed pounds immediately just because I became a follower of Jesus. Agreed? So the flesh has yet to be redeemed, but it does need to be brought in line with the character, the new operating system. But how's it going to do that? Well, I have to translate. And how I translate is by this renewing of the mind. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life. Notice that your life and how you lived it before you became a follower of Jesus is referred to as a former way. You might want to underline that phrase. In other words, it's how you used to do it, but it isn't how you do things now. To put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Circle the word, phrase, attitudes of your minds. And to put on the new self created to be like God, circle like God, in true righteousness and holiness. And you can underline righteousness and holiness because, friends, here's what we're seeing, is that God wants to make us like Him, spirit, soul, and body. So not only does He want us to have this new operating system, which is the nature of who we are, but it also creates this environment where these applications of life, like being a spouse and being a parent and being a co-worker and a friend, these applications have a new environment to operate in. And so it's supposed to function differently. It's supposed to look differently. And notice here that it's the renewing or changing of the attitude of our minds. In other words, what we think and how we think about things is supposed to change now. We have to process this new way, a new nature on the inside, and the new way it's supposed to be expressed on the outside. Again, to be like who? Like God. You can always see how well you're doing, not by comparing yourself to one another. Well, am I better than John or Jim or Bob? Irrelevant. Because God doesn't measure you against one another. When you and I stand before the Lord and give an account for our life, and we will, friends, there's only one standard we are being compared to. And that's who He made us to be like, and that's Him. So how I compare to you and you compare to the person next to you is irrelevant. The question is, how are we doing in becoming like God in true righteousness and holiness? That and that alone is what we're to be comparing to. In your outlines, all drivers must be made new to be compatible with the new operating system and engage the applications properly. So in Romans 12, it says, renew your mind and be transformed. In 1 Peter 1, it says it like this. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So circle the word holy, or the phrase be holy, whichever you prefer. And remember that the word holy means otherworldly. And what we're seeing is that God is holy. And this new life, this divine nature, this very nature of God that's been planted in us is to produce the same kind of thing in us. That as He is holy, we're supposed to be holy. So here's the question then. What is this going to look like in your outlines? How we engage life will be otherworldly. That means, friends, that your life should be different from the lives of those who are your neighbors and relatives that don't know Jesus. And if you do life God's way, if you allow the new operating system to have its way, if you allow God to place in you the drivers, we get into God's Word and we renew our minds, and we download His drivers for His operating system, and we start to translate the nature of God from within through the soul into our outward behavior with one another, then guess what? It's going to look different. Because how we relate not only to the people we love, but even the people that are our enemies, is supposed to look different according to Jesus. It's supposed to look otherworldly. Well, what does that look like? Well, in your outlines, notice that the same God who said that He is holy also said that He is love. Remember that the code for all of God's operating systems and His software, just as in the computer world, it's ones and zeros, in God's world, it's truth and love. Well, what about faith? Faith is the activity. Faith is an action. Faith isn't just some static or inactive thing. Faith is an activity. It's a verb. It's an action. And life is the outcome. Life to the full, Jesus said in John 10:10. So, The God who said he is holy also said he is love. So I don't know how you define love, but let's just take a quick gander as we wrap things up in how God defines love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. And make note, it's God's love in us. This word love is not the Greek word eros, which we apply to romantic love. It's not human love. It's not storge, which is parental love. It's not phileo, which is brotherly or friendship love. This is agape. This is that ultimate OS, the nature of God being downloaded in you. God's love in you, notice, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. That is how God defines love. And I can't tell you how many weddings will have 1 Corinthians 13 recited in them. And yet, if they would just simply apply that definition of love, we wouldn't have a divorce rate. We wouldn't. And I don't say that to shame anybody. I'm saying it as a reality, that this is the operating system of God. You want to be otherworldly? Love. Everything in your outlines, everything boils down to one issue, love. God is love. Every thought, attitude, motive, word, and deed is measured by love. So by what I think, by what I say, and by what I do, am I showing love toward God? Am I showing love toward my spouse, my children, my family at large? Am I showing love toward my neighbor, my coworker, the cashier, the guy that cut me off? Am I showing love toward God's creation? Am I showing love toward my enemy? This, friends, is what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, to have the new operating system, the ultimate operating system. The operating system of the kingdom of God, friends, is love. This is the ultimate OS. And in Mark chapter 12, Jesus said it this way. When asked, what is the greatest commandment? If we could take the entire Bible and sum it up, Jesus, what would you say? And he said, here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And here is where you will find we get our slogan, loving God, loving people. that we have on the back of our shirts, right? Because this is the great commandment. This is the Bible summed up. This is the operating system of God. Now, I don't know about you, but as I read through 1 Corinthians 13, I found a lot of challenging points. Yeah? And you know, I just want to wrap up this series by saying this. Living this new operating system is kind of like learning to walk. When you're a baby and you get up and you take those first few steps, you're going to fall. You're going to trip. You're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes and blunder. It happens to everyone. Nobody pops up off the crib and starts running. We try walking first, and we don't do it well. Even once we start to kind of get our balance, we're very wobbly. Agreed? And friends, that's kind of how operating in this new operating system will be. And if you've ever gotten a new phone or a new computer, you just kind of, you mess around with it and get familiar with it and try to get more fluent in it. It doesn't come all at once. And some of us, we get all down and depressed about that, or we get angry. Don't. You're learning. Do you think the God that reached in to the dirt and the muck and the mire and the ugliness of your life and wanted you when you didn't give a rip about him, do you think that for some reason, now that you're trying, he's disappointed and angry with you? I don't know about you, but when I've watched parents see their babies trying to take those first steps, watching them crash and burn and eat carpet, I've never seen a parent get angry. I've never seen a parent be hostile and mad. Come on, kid, get it together. No. God loves us, friends, and he understands we're going to eat carpet once in a while. He's patient. Now, if you're 30 and still eating carpet, now we got a problem. Now we've got a problem. But as hard and as unbelievable as this new operating system may seem and may feel when you first start, as awkward, in your outlines we close this way. The more you do it, the more fluent you get. The more you operate in it, the more you walk with God and do things his way, the easier and the more normal it will start to become and start to feel in your life. Does that make sense? And one day you'll be zipping around this operating system like a native, right? Like you know what you're doing. So I'd like you to close your eyes as we wrap things up here. And I wonder if maybe the Lord is, how is he working in your heart? What's your next step today? As you and I listen to this operating system, what's God wanting to speak in our heart? Is he wanting you to take that first step of making a commitment to Jesus and downloading his operating system for the very first time and start trying to crawl or walk? Or maybe for some of us, he wants us to download some new drivers. We need to change what we think and how we think about certain life applications. Maybe there's certain relationships in our life that are strained. Maybe there's certain behaviors that we're engaging in that are inappropriate by God's definition of right and wrong. And he wants to bring change in those. Whatever it is, I would like you to just close with this prayer. And we can pray as a church together. Would you pray this prayer with me? Say, in the name of Jesus, I run to you, God. And I ask you to fill my life with your operating system, with your nature and your life. Help me to renew my mind, to think how you think, to see how you see, to understand how you understand, that I may engage life your way and get your results. I understand that this means change. And change is always uncomfortable and awkward. But I commit to see it through. To learn to crawl, and then to walk, and then to run in this new life that you have given me. To my last breath. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or as a recommitment,